rondele badiasco ta. Tomare bede di aschio la brosti e vesti di. Borembe le bronche ve la monsiote. Jesus, Jesus, for I prepare you, saith the Spirit of grace, in an hour that you think not, I prepare you in a time and a season that does not seem convenient. I come again and again because of the outcry of this place and because of the foundation and because of everything that has been lifted up through my grace, that which I have supplied year after year. I come again to supply the grace, the line on line and the precept on precept to teach you and to bring you closer to that place that you have called on me for and that you have brought forth supplication and prayers and giving of thanks in many different ways. I come again to speak to you. I desire to prepare you for revival. I desire to prepare you for the outpouring. I desire to place inside of you the image, the imagination, the understanding, and everything that will come before and during, and everything that will take you into the very last of the last, saith the Spirit of God. Receive of these things, walk in these things, know this, that I come again with purging. I come again to cut back. And even when you think there's nothing left to cut back, I come again and again and again. And when I am done, understand this, that no chastening for the moment seemeth good, but afterwards it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness and joy in my spirit. So yield in these days and yield in these hours to the word of the Lord and to the wisdom of God and to the purgings and the comings of my spirit dealing with you in this place and in the days that you will hear these words spoken over these next few days. Listen, but not only in this place, but in your bedrooms, in your cars, in your kitchens, in your bathrooms. Listen to me, for I come again as a comforter. I come again as a voice. I come again saying, come away with me. Come away with me. Lay everything aside and come away with me, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands? Father, we just worship you. We just worship you. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you say with me, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to have a good time this week. Amen. Where is somebody to... Could you go ahead and put the offering baskets out, please? Amen. Let me exhort you for just a moment. How many are here anticipating something wonderful? And I know that's you and me. We've already heard from the Holy Spirit. We didn't have that prophecy plan, but it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, get ready. Because he's going to take us another step further. I do not believe that the years that we have spoken concerning revival and believed revival and the outpouring and everything else that has gone involved, has been involved in this, is going to go wasted. Do you? It absolutely cannot be wasted. So we're here this morning to celebrate Jesus. And whatever term that we use, revival, outpouring, whatever, it's just another affectionate term to say something that we want to go back. We want to take the church back to a place by his grace where it resembles, not only resembles, but if at all possible, can exceed the first church. And so that kind of power where people walk in and say, what must I do to be saved? And then once they are saved, then they begin to live a righteous life, not because somebody's following them around with the Ten Commandments and saying, do this and don't do this, but because of the inward witness. But we're headed in that direction. We really are, and you're here and a part of it. If you were, just think for just a moment as you give this morning. If you were part of that first church, now, church was quite different then than it is now. In fact, it doesn't even resemble, we don't even resemble in many ways Sad to say, mostly, overall, the church at large doesn't resemble those first century meetings, mainly because of power that has been lost. It's been buried under decades and decades of tradition and religion. But if you were here and we were meeting for our first day of the week service, as the Christians begin to do, the Jews were meeting on the Sabbath, and then it just seemed to evolve that the Christians went into the first day of the week kind of ministry and service. But if you were part of that, you obviously walked to church from wherever you were at, and there was no air conditioning, and there was nobody standing with a mic, and there was no recorded message. Nobody was saying, okay, make sure we get that loaded on the, because we want to download that later on our MP3. You couldn't do that. There wasn't even, nobody came into church with a Bible in their hand. Nobody had a Bible. The New Testament was not yet written. It was in the process of being written. And if you were one of those churches that survived long enough to maybe get a letter from one of the apostles, you just counted that letter like gold. I mean, the kids didn't touch it. There was just one or two elders that could even, you know, make sure it was in a safe place. And the Old Testament was not even, it was very hard to get a hold of. And so they depended so strongly on the presence of God, and so strongly on the voice of the Holy Spirit, and so strongly on just the joy of being saved. And if you showed up like this, you didn't know sometimes if the speaker was going to be there to speak. Because the first half of Acts is Peter and the apostles at Jerusalem, and then the kind of second half of Acts is kind of follows Paul's life, but it doesn't follow it real extensively close, because when you get to 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about a lot of stuff in there that happened to him, a lot of imprisonments and a lot of beatings and stuff that you can find parts of it in the book of Acts, but you can't find it all. It's just there were parts of it that imprisonments that just weren't shared there. So what I'm saying is this, that if you came this morning looking, if you were part of that first church and it was said that, okay, Paul is going to be coming through, and by the way, those guys are only now in the 21st church, and as the church has progressed, they have received their, quote, sainthood. Paul wrote in one place in the Word, he said, we're talked of as evildoers. We're thought of as evildoers, and we're, our name is maligned as those in the earth, as those that who do evil. He said, although our conscience is clean before God. In other words, they were not popular in their day. We have given them a sainthood now per se, but we think, well, boy, if I could go back and hang around Paul. Most people didn't want to hang around Paul. They didn't like him. And then a lot of them were jealous of his ministry. And so all those guys that are popular for us now, unless you were really in the church and walking with God, you just didn't like those guys. And a lot of people in the church didn't like him. And besides for that, with all of his imprisonments and the imprisonments for all the other apostles, you wouldn't know from time to time. You may show up at church that first day of the week and expect to hear one of the other, wherever they were at. A lot of them were just at Jerusalem, but if Paul was going to be in your city, you may find out that the night before he was imprisoned. So you get to church and you find out, well, the pastor or the guest speaker is not here because he's in jail. So church was a lot different. It was a lot different. And when's he going to get out? I don't know. His arraignment doesn't come out for the next 3 months. He's just going to be sitting there. What am I saying is this, is when they got together, it was based on the joy of the Lord. And the other part of whatever they did, whether it was worship, there was no music, there was no real instruments. It was the joy of the Lord. The same thing in their giving. Those guys sitting there, those people sitting there listening, and whatever reason they had come, it was for one reason. It was because of the joy of the Lord, and they didn't know what to expect when they got there, if the preacher was going to be there, or if just a few elders were going to be there, or if somebody was going to be so maligned the week before they couldn't make it. But when they did get an opportunity to give, when someone did stand up and say, we're collecting for another church, or we're giving for the poor in our community. One thing I do know this, the same joy that brought them there was the same joy that compelled them to give. It was not based on, am I going to get a new Cadillac out of this? No, you're not, because their cars are not invented right now. Am I going to get a bigger house because of this? No, because half of you are not even living in hardly living conditions that can be compared to anything that we understand as today. Well, what am I going to get out of this? The satisfaction of knowing this, that the same blood that saved you is the same blood that we're speaking to people everywhere we go. And once we get Paul out of prison next week, we're going to give him this offering so he can go on, not to buy him a bigger house or a better car or a hundredfold blessing of some sort financial. We're going to ask you to give this morning so that when he does get out of jail and we do get to hug him in the next couple of weeks, he can take this blessing to get other people saved. Hallelujah. So that's the same reason why we give today. With that same expectation of, Father, this gospel has to go out. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, those that are on Second Street, we want the prostitutes in here. We want the homosexuals in here. We want those in prison in here. We want them to be born again with the same love and the same power that we've been born again with. Hallelujah. That's our motivation this morning for giving. I'm going to ask you this morning to give. This offering will be going to the church. Almost every other offering this week will be given in respect to blessing Pastor Jim and Kathy. But right now, I'm going to ask you to consider what you'd give to this ministry, because we're believing God for an outpouring in Immokalee, and your giving goes towards that. Amen. So if you're making out a check or giving, just give it to the Family Prayer Center. And if you want credit for it, then put it in an envelope. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray and you listen. Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you for that motivation. Lord, our giving is motivated on this, the blood of Jesus, what he's done for us, and the propagation of the gospel of good news. So I ask you to bless them, speak to their hearts in this giving this morning, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have something to give, we're going to ask everybody really to stand again. And I know you've greeted each other. And you don't have to go back all through that, because I do want to bring Jim on here in just a few minutes. But you can bring this down. Marty, if you can give us something, you can bring this down. And if you miss somebody, then you can say hi to that person, okay? God bless you.
Well, Father, we thank you for this offering. And Lord God, even like what Pastor was mentioning this morning, a lot of the church runs from persecution. Most of the church runs, and I'm not speaking of any person, I'm just speaking to the fear or the motivator that's behind a lot of the church today, that we run from things instead of running into them, you know. So, you know, I thank God that I go to a church that I'm learning how to run into it. So when I see the persecution nowadays and I see the resistance, I run towards that, because, you know, not out of my own will, but I know that that's where it'll make the difference, and that's what's going to make the difference, and that's what's going to drive the darkness back. So, Father, I thank you that as fear leaves us in Jesus' name, and as we are not afraid to give, and we're not afraid of tomorrow, we're not thinking about yesterday, we are becoming more like you each day. So, Lord, as we lay down these things that we used to know, or the things that have kept us in bondage up to this date even, Lord, that we're walking into you, Lord, and we trust you with everything that we are, and this year is going to be a year of change, a year of giving rid of everything and following you. Not by any man, Lord, that we may boast, but by your Spirit, Lord, you're training us, teaching us into all things. And Lord, I bless this offering. I bless this ministry of Jim and his wife and what all they do in Ohio. And Father, I bless this time that he's with us. And Lord, I pray that we have ears to hear and eyes to see and to receive what's going to be said. In Jesus' name, amen.